Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah, Zayin, we're in Vav Amud Beis. We're starting today with the Mishnah. We have already established the throughout the first couple of Mishnayos and the first five, six blot of our Masechta in terms of when is the correct time to read the Megillah. There's a mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah on Purim. The Megillah is very clear about it, and the Mishnayos are even clearer about it in terms of when this is going to be happening. So since the beginning of the Masechta, so we've been establishing what day of the month we should be reading. However, sometimes the calendar throws a curveball at us, and that not only is there one Adar, but there sometimes can be two Adarim. So as we're all familiar, we all know. So we work with a calendar in which we follow the lunar year, but in order to adjust for the season, so about every third year, we're going to be adding an additional month, an extra month, in order so that the solar year and the lunar year coordinate with one another. We're all familiar. We went through this in Rosh Hashanah in some detail. We're going to do this again when we go to Masechta Sanhedrin. So anyway, intercalation, we're all familiar. So that extra month that's added is always going to be Adar. There's no other month that's going to be added other than the month of Adar. So now, simple question, which is not going to have a simple answer. And that is that when there's another Adar, like for example this year happens to be Nibir Yor, so we're going to be having a second Adar. So when there's a second Adar, so when is going to be the time to read the Megillah? Are we going to be reading an Adar Aleph? Are we going to be reading an Adar Beis? I'll throw another third possibility. How about we do both? Okay, so it's a really simple question. So although we've established the date, now we have to establish the Adar. Which Adar? Or if you'd like, which Adar is the real Adar? Okay, but that's a little cliche, but that's the basic question that we're going to be dealing with in the beginning of today's daf. And so let's see a Mishnah together. I'm sorry, one other word of introduction before we start with the Mishnah, and that is Dal Parshios. I know we're all familiar, but just a quick word on Dal Parshios. So as we are entering into the month of Adar, so we're reading four special parshios that are relevant thematically to that time of the year. So it starts with Parsha Shkalim, and then from there, an additional three other parshios that are said at that point in time. So those parshios are said primarily in the month of Adar. Now, that's not perfectly exact. In other words, Shkalim is said in anticipation of the month of Adar, and Parsha Zachodesh is, well, Parsha Zachodesh is in Adar in anticipation of Nisan. It can get a little bit complicated, but for our purposes right now, I'm going to say it really simple. I'm oversimplifying it. I'm reducing it. But basically, these Dal Parshios are said in the month of Adar. So again, we're going to be asking the same question. These Dal Parshios should be said in Adar Aleph, Adar Beis, both. Let's leave both out of the choices. Okay, so it's basically going to be the same question. Okay, good. That was a really, really quick introduction to Dal Parshios. Let's begin the Mishnah and the Gemara. Karos Megillah ba'Adar Rishon. So let's say you read the Megillah on the first Adar. Vinis Abra Hashanah. And now they decide to add another Adar. Now, again, this is something we're not used to because we operate with a fixed calendar. So we operate within a 19-year cycle. Within those 19 years, 7 of those 19 years are in fact going to be in Ibiyar. And we know exactly which of those 19 years. In other words, we know exactly when to expect an Adar Beis. Back in the time of the Mishnah, and obviously prior to that, so all these decisions were made as necessary. Meaning it was about every third year, but Basin would make the decision, the executive decision, in terms of when they're going to be adding an additional Adar. So it could very well be the case that you already read the Megillah thinking that this is it, this is the only Adar that we're going to be having this year. And then afterwards, sometime in later Adar, Basin made the executive decision that we're going to be adding another month. Now, I read the Megillah, and then all of a sudden, what jumped out at me is another Adar. What do I do under those circumstances? So the Mishnah says, "Vinisabra Shana, Karno Saba Adar Sheni." So the Mishnah says that what you're going to do is you're going to read the Megillah in Adar Sheni. Ein bein Adar Rishon l'Adar Sheni, ela kriyas Megillah matan savyonim. The only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is only going to be kriyas Megillah coupled together with matan savyonim. That's the only difference. In all other areas, they're going to be the same. What other areas are we talking about? Stay tuned. As we're going to clarify, but already in my introduction, you kind of can guess where we're headed. But okay, anyway, so because the decision is based on a number of factors, including the weather and how the produce is reacting, and so it's an ad hoc decision. In other words, as they get closer and closer to the end of Adar, they're going to see whether we're still too deep in the winter and we need more time. Okay. It's an excellent question. I could guess, but I don't know. Halein you say to Parshios, Zevazeh Shavin. So the Gemara's discussion starts off with, what about Dal Parshios? So it sounds like as far as Dal Poshios are concerned, so they are on equal footing with one another. So Mani Masis and Lotanakama Velov Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yosef Velov Rishim and Gamliel. So the Gemara says, now we're going to try to identify who the author of our Mishnah is. There are three Tanaim in which to choose from. We haven't seen any one of them yet. We're about to make an introduction. And after we introduce ourselves to these three Tanaim, we're going to try to then plug in. Which of those three Tanaim is our Mishnah? Right now, the Gemara already is telegraphing the punch. Doesn't sound like any of the three. And that obviously leaves us confused. But first, let's go order of operations. First, let's introduce ourselves to the three Tanaim. So, Detayim will enter the Brisa, Karusa, Megillah, Be'adar, Rishon, Nisabra, Hashana. You read the Megillah in Adar Rishon. Then they made another Adar. Karnos, Be'adar, Sheni. So, says the Tanakama of this Brisa. So, you read the Megillah in Adar Sheni. So far, it sounds like our Mishnah. However, Shekol Mitzvah, Shenagat, Be'sheni, Nohagat, Be'rishon, Chutz, Mimikra, Megillah. Tanakama says that all the mitzvahs that are Noeg, B'sheni can be done B'rishon, with a notable exception to the Megillah. So that's the Tanakama. So right now, the Tanakama has it that the only thing that is unique and specific to Adar Beis is going to be Mikra Megillah. Okay, hold that thought. Next, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi, Amarin, Korno, Soba, Adar Sheni, Shekol Mitzvah, Shenagat, B'sheni, Noegis, B'rishon. So according to the Shita of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi, you read it on Adar Aleph, you're good. All the mitzvahs of Adar are Noeg in Adar Aleph, including Mikra Megillah. So you're good. Clearly, meaning of all the Shitas we're about to see, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is the furthest one away from our Mishnah. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. And finally, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi. And finally, Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rebbe Yossi, Av Karnoso Ba'adar Hasheni. No, you're going to be reading the Megillah on Adar Sheni. Shekol Mitzvah Shenagas B'Sheni Ain Noheges B'Rishon. So any of the mitzvahs which are Noeg and Sheni cannot be done in the Rishon, meaning you read the Megillah on Adar Beis. Now, hopefully at this point in time, what it sounds to you is that the Rishim and Gamliel sounds exactly like the Tanakama. Hold that thought. And meanwhile, Vishavim Behesped of Tanis Shasurim Zebizeh. Now, as far as Tanis and Hesped is concerned, so just like you're not allowed to fast and eulogize on the 14th to 15th of Adar Aleph, you're also not allowed to fast and eulogize on Adar Beis as well. Okay. Now, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel Hainu Tanakama. So before we even contrast the Brisa to the Mishnah, so we still have a little bit of cleaning up to do. Meaning right now it sounds like the Tanakama and Shimon Gamliel are saying the same thing. And that can't be because in the Brisa they're presented as two different shitas. So Amra Papa Seder Parshios Ikabeinayo Tanakama Sarva Lechatchila B'Sheni. So Seder Parshios. According to the Tanakama, it really principally should be done in Adar Beis. The Avad B'Rishon Avad. Barman Mikra Megillah. The Af Agav Dekar B'Rishon Kar B'Sheni. So Tanakama is of the position that in principle the Dal Parshios should be done in Adar Beis, but if done in Adar Aleph B'Di'Avad, it's okay. However, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, even B'di'evit, it's not good in Adar Aleph, it must be done in Adar Beis. That's the Tanakama. Now, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi is of the position that it's done in Adar Aleph, meaning that we knew already, meaning that didn't really need clarification. Okay, but we're just setting everybody up. And finally, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Savrafilo Seder Parshiosi, Kar B'Rishon, Kar B'Sheni. And according to Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel, no, everything has to be done in Adar Beis, including Dal Parshios. And even though Dal Parshios were read in Adar Aleph, you still have to go ahead and repeat them in Adar Beis as well. Now, where are we right now? So far, we have presented and clarified the three opinions of the Brisa. Now we get to compare and contrast. Of those three positions, which one is our Mishnah? So what the Gemara right now is suggesting is we're 0-3. Now, obviously, that's an impossible suggestion because somebody's got to be our Mishnah. And then to suggest that our Mishnah really is a fourth Shita, the Gemara doesn't even entertain that thought. So the Gemara says money. E Tanakama Kashya Matanus. So if it's the Tanakama, so it really is most similar to the Tanakama, but if you look back at our Mishnah says that what's done in Adar Beis, Mikra Megillah, and Matanus Lev Yonim, the Tanakama doesn't mention Matanus Lev Yonim. Okay? I know it's a small difference, and it's resolvable. But right now, the Gemara thinks that that's different. And E, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi, Kasha, Nami, Mikra, Megillah. Now, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi, forget about. Meaning, he has it that you're reading in the Adar Aleph. The Mishnah says that you're doing it in the Adar Beis. Clearly, our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi. That one's pretty straightforward. And E, Rishim, and Gamliel, Kasha, Seder, Parshios. And now, what do you want to tell me? That's going like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so the difficulty lies in the Parshios. Because in our Mishnah, the Parshios can be read in Adar Aleph. And according to according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Dal Parshios cannot be read in Adar Aleph. And even if they were read in Adar Aleph, you got to go ahead and repeat them in Adar Beis as well. So where does that leave us right now? Where are we in terms of who the author of our Mishnah is? So the Gemara gives a couple suggestions. The Olam Tanakama. So really the truth of the matter is that our Mishnah is the Tanakama. And as far as the fact that the Tanakama didn't mention Matanos Le'Avyonim, Matanos Le'Avyonim comes along with Mikra Megillah. It is a package deal. We just stated a couple days ago in the Daf that the reason, one of the reasons that we don't read Megillah on Shabbos is because the Aniyim are looking to Mikra Megillah in terms of collection of Matanos Le'Avyonim. So Haba Hatalia, it's a package deal. So when the Tanakhama says that Mikra Megillah is done in Adar Beis, he means Mikra Megillah and Matanos Le'Avyonim, and that's our Mishnah. That's one possibility. Ibai Zemel Olam Rishim and Gamliel He. Alternatively, one could suggest that the author of our Mishnah is Rishim and Gamliel Mas Nisin Chesuri Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. And now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to just read our Mishnah a little bit different, as if there is a missing component to the Mishnah. What's missing in the Mishnah? V'hachi ketani, ein bein arba asar sheba ador rishon l'yudal sheba ador sheni, ela mikra megillah matanos umatanos. Halin yin hespa, v'tani zevizeh shavin. What we're comparing is not the totality of Adar Aleph and the totality of Adar Beis. We're only comparing the 14th of Adar Aleph and the 14th of Adar Beis. That's the only thing that we're comparing. So on that comparison, so here's what we're saying. They're not the same. Mikra Megillah and Matanos Le'Avyonim are done in Adar Beis, not in Adar Aleph. But as far as the rest of Adar is concerned and Dal Parshios, our mission is just simply not talking about that. V'ilu Seder Parshios lo Mairi. Okay, so that is another way to possibly read the Mishnah, and if you're reading the Mishnah that way, then our Mishnah is in fact holding like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, when all said and done, that was a long way, that's a long start of our daf today. We have truth of the matter, we even haven't gone to our daf today, but what we've just done is go through what happens when there's a second Adar. When is the mitzvah Mikra Megillah? So now I'm just going to work backwards. We have a braisa that has three opinions. The first and third opinion are similar to one another in that Adar Beis really is the principal Adar. According to the middle sheet, Adar Aleph is really the principal Adar. And then just a question of, now that we know that, we go back to our Mishnah. Who is our Mishnah holding like? So possibly either like the Tanakhama, opinion number one, or Rav Shimon Gamliel, opinion number three, meaning clearly our Mishnah is also favoring Adar Beis. It's just now a question of which position fits in better into the Mishnah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Cheber Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hilchasek Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shamar Mishim Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so and then the Gemara says Psak Halacha. So of the three positions, so Rabbi Cheber Avin says B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Shita number three, Rishim and Gamliel, which is an Adar Beis, really is a principal Adar. It's the one in which you must be reading Mikra Megillah. In fact, if you only read during one, not two, you weren't Yotze. And on top of that, also Dal Parshios come along together, also in Adar Beis as well, meaning Adar Beis really takes on the full identity of Adar. So Amar Rav Yochanan v'shnei Mikra Echadarshu. Now, a little bit of Svara. Right now, all we've been doing is just dropping information. And we haven't really been giving any svara to the information that we've had. So the Gemara now is going to be giving a little bit of svara. So Becholshan Veshan Rebbe Laz Rebbe Yossi Tzavar. So we know this kind of svara we had earlier in the Masechta, and here we have again. And that is that what the Megillah is demanding is that we be consistent every year. Becholshan Veshana. And now, what does consistency look like? So that's the Gemara says, that's the Machlokas. So Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Yossi, Tzavar, Bechol Shana V'Shana, Ma'akol Shana V'Shana, Adar HaSamach L'Shvat, Avkan Adar HaSamach L'Shvat. So Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Yossi says, look, consistency means that it has to be the Adar that's proximate to the month of Shvat. So that's, in other words, in an leap year, that would be Adar Aleph. And Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Tzavar, Bechol Shana V'Shana, Ma'akol Shana V'Shana, Adar HaSamach L'Nisan, Avkan Adar HaSamach L'Nisan. And then the counter argument of Shimon Gamliel is, look, you want consistency? Every year, you know, it's the Adar proximate to Nisan. So over here, when there are two Adarim, so I want the Adar that's proximate to Nisan. Okay. Now, basically, you can pinball back and forth between these two Svaras because it's basically, look, which consistency do we want better? What's the preferred consistency? Is it the Adar that's proximate to Shvat or is it the Adar proximate to Nisan? The Gemara goes on and gives us another level of understanding. Bishlam Rebbe Loz Rebbe Yossi Mistaber Taima Dein Mavir Nala Mitzvos. So now, given that the consistency argument is pretty much a stalemate, so the Gemara says, look, I can really make a strong argument for Rebbe Elazar, Rav Yossi, you should do another Aleph. Why? Because Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos. Because we know that when there's a mitzvah opportunity to come that comes along, so we should be taking care of it as early as possible. And if Adar Aleph is in fact an opportunity, so we should take care of it as quickly as possible. El Rishem Gamliel, my time I'm Rabbi Tevi time of Rishem Gamliel, Mismech Geula LeGeula Adif. Now, what's behind the Shita Rishem Gamliel? Well, look. On one hand, I hear you, Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos. On the other hand, the Adar Beis, which is closer to Nisan. So now what you're doing is you're taking the Geulas and you're putting closer together. Obviously, in Nisan, we experienced the Geula historically. So what we want to do now is we want to create proximity between the Geula of Nisan and the Geula of Adar, meaning Purim. And that's why we're going to be reading Megillah in Adar Beis, not in Adar Aleph. Now, right. I'm so curious because the Gemara does not say, and I don't want to belabor this point because the Gemara didn't say it, but it's certainly curious. The Gemara doesn't simply say that according to Rishon and Gamliel, Adar Aleph is just not an option, right? In other words, it's just simply, once there's an Adar Beis, Adar Aleph becomes now just simply another month. The Gemara doesn't say that. It gives me the impression that even according to Rishon and Gamliel, Adar Aleph is still Adar. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Lazar, Amar Tamid, Rabbi Shem, and Gamliel Mehacha. Okay, more svaras, drashas, in terms of the defense of the Shita, Rishim and Gamliel, which is that we go after Adar Beis, not after Adar Aleph. So, Dechsiv, Lekai, Mithigaris, Apurim, Azos, Hashenis. Now, the second letter. So, if you look in the Megillah itself, and you just read simple pshat in the Megillah, of course the Megillah here is not referring to Adar Beis. It's just simply referring to, there were multiple letters that were written. The first letter that was written said to terminate and destroy all the Jews. The second letter says that the Jews can defend themselves. So, the Itzrich, but what the Gemara is doing now is that the Gemara is darshaning the Pasuk, and the Gemara is teaching us that the Shenis over here could be understood as a reference to the second Adar. So, the Itzrich, Lemichtav, Hashenis, and now the Gemara points out that both of these drashas are necessary, meaning that we have now two svaras that operate and help us form the shita of Rishim and Gamliel. One, consistency, and two, shenis. And the Gemara says they're both necessary. Why? V'itzrich lemichtav, sorry, I'm just rereading from the top line. V'itzrich lemichtav b'chol shana v'shana, di'i mikol shana v'shana. If the Megillah would have simply said, b'chol shana v'shana, hava mina kikushan. So I would have thought that the counter argument is that look, if you want consistency, so go with the other that's proximate to Shvat. Don't go with the other that's proximate to Nisan. So Kamash Malan Hashenis. So that's what Hashenis is coming to tell me, that no, it's the second other. And V'i Hashmin and Hashenis. Now, if all I had was the drasha of Hashenis, Havamina Batchilam. Berishon Visheni. Kamash Milan, Bechol Shana Vashana. I would have thought that no, that what you should do is you should be reading one and two. Meaning Hashenis, if that's all I had, so one could have entertained the idea that, okay, I should be reading the second together with a conjunction with the first as well. That's a Havamin I would have had. So that's why Kol Shana Vashana tells me that we need consistency. What kind of consistency are we looking at? Every year I read only one occasion. So when there's a double Adar, I'm going to be reading only one occasion. And then Hashenis comes to tell me that's going to be the second Adar, not the first Adar. Okay. Kamash Malan b'chol shana b'shana. V'Rebbe Elazar Rav Yossi, Hashenis Mayavid Lei. So according to Rebbe Elazar Rav Yossi, what does he do with the word Shenis? Because according to Rebbe Elazar Rav Yossi, you're not reading the Megillah on Adar Beis, you're reading an Adar Aleph. So what does he do with that? So, Mibayle l'chadar Rav Shimon bar Yehuda, Damar Rav Shimon bar Yehuda. So, B'tchila, Kavua B'shushan, Ulvesof B'chol Ha'olam Kula. So, Shenis talks about the stages in which they accepted upon themselves Purim. Originally, Purim was only accepted in the city of Shushan, presumably because that's where they felt the nes more acutely. And then only at a later point in time did Purim take on the status of Purim for Kolam Kula, for all the Jews, regardless of where they live. So it could be that Purim was accepted in stages, and that's what Hashenis could be understood as. Okay, Adkan. All right, that takes us really to the end of the first part of today's daf. In conclusion, we have discussed now for the last 20 minutes what happens into this, under the circumstances in which you have another base. When should you be reading the Megillah? Machlokes Tanaim. Conclusion of the Gemara is that you read it Adar Beis, not Adar Aleph. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Shalchem lahem esel lechachamim. So we quoted Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So the next discussion on the Gemara, although still on the topic of Purim slash the Megillah, and more predominantly the Megillah, but really nothing to do with Adar Aleph, Adar Beis, but it's the same Baal Memra. It's Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So the Gemara now quotes another member of Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Shachlam Esther Chachamim Esther sent the following request, demand to the Chachamim. And that is Kivun Ladaros. So what I want you to do is I want you to establish Purim as a Yantiv for all future generations. Meaning I want this to be a formal Takana. Meaning we had a miracle. And so on one hand, you know, people can commemorate the miracle as much as they want. But as a formal Takana, what Esther demanded of the Chachamim, requested, demanded, is that this become a formal institution, a takana. So shachula kinat moresal and lebin omos. The counter argument that the Chachamim sent to Esther is, wait one second, it may not be politically savvy. We are right now currently under the rulership of Achashverosh, and for that matter in general, the Persians. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to be writing instituting a holiday commemorating our victory. And who knows, it might lead to political unrest. They thought it might not be a great idea. So Shalchalem Kvar Kasvu Ani Aldir Yama Mamache Madar Faras. So her counter argument is that look in the history books, meaning that every all these accounts were put on historical ledger. In fact, we saw in the Megillah itself, so Achashverosh turned to the ledgers in terms of, you know, what's happening over here. Right? How come people are trying to kill me, et cetera, et cetera? Okay, good. So she basically said it's already in the history books. So you don't have to worry about the political fallout. There will not be a political fallout, and so that ends that part of the discussion. Another discussion similar. Rav Ravi Chanin, Rav Yochan, Ravi Chaviva Masnu. So the Gemara has a collection of Amarayim, and throughout Seder Moed, Bechula Seder Moed, Kolki Aizuga. When you see this collection of Amarayim, Chilufa Rabbi Yochanan, Amai Rabbi Yonasan. So take out Rabbi Yochanan and put in Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, it's a detail, but we want to make sure that we have the tradition as well as we can. And so a mistake was made, and instead of the Gemara just simply editing the mistake, the Gemara tells us it was a mistake and make sure to edit it. Fine. So Rabbi Yochanan's removed, Rabbi Yonasan's replaced, and that is, and now that we have it corrected in terms of attribution, the statement, Shachlam Esther lechachamim. The following was sent from Esther to the Chachamim, and that is Kisvuni Ledoros. So what I want is I want this Megillah to be written, and I want it to be canonized. I want it to be part of Tanakh. We see a couple times throughout Shas, and this is going to be one of those places, where there are a couple of Sfarim of Tanakh that are on the bubble. Okay? It's okay if you don't understand that. Okay, so fine. But anyway, right? So never mind. It's so unimportant. So the and that means to say that questionable whether or not it should or should not be incorporated in Sifrei Tanakh. So we know that the canonization of Tanakh was done by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. We also know that Esther and the Megillah was written at that point in time. And so what she wanted is that she was campaigning, petitioning that the Sefer, that Megillah Esther be part of Tanakh. And that is, so now Kisvuni Ladaros. So I should, my Megillah. Now when I say my Megillah, meaning the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that the author of the Megillah is Mordechai. But she may, whatever her involvement was in terms of the writing of the Megillah. But nevertheless, she wanted to make sure that it be included in Sifrei Tanakh. So here an interesting discussion back and forth. So Shachula, so they sent to her, Halo Kasafti Lecha, Shilishim. So they quote a pasuk in Mishle. The pasuk in Mishle says that we can only do this three times, we can't do this four times. Do what three times? So Rashi over here points out that look, we go to war against Amalek. Melchamas Amalek is recorded in Tanakh. And so they had some sort of Mesorah, and I cannot explain why because I don't know, but they had some sort of Mesorah based on the pasuk in Mishle that it can only be written in Tanakh three times, no more than three times. Again, I wish I could help you in terms of why, but that's the Masar they had. So, Shalishim v'lo Ribeim. So, three times, but not four times. And so, they basically said, look, we've tapped out. Meaning, Amalek is already mentioned three times in the Torah. So, Ashematzalo Mikra Kasab Torah. Now, I'm sorry. In terms of the three times, so once in Parshas Bishalach, a second time in Parshas Kisetze at the end, which is really recapping the war that took place back in Parshas Bishalach, and finally in Shmuel Aleph, where we went to war with Amalek, and that was with Shaul. And so what they said is, look, Haman may be a descendant of Amalek, and yes, in the battle of Purim is a battle against Amalek, but we're tapped out. We can't include anymore because it's three times and that's it. For whatever reason. So then, they darshan as follows. So now the Gemara is going to be darshaning. Now this is in Bishalach, but the Gemara now is going to be seeing here the number of times that you can record Mechamas Amalek. So, Ksov Zos, Mashakasov Khan, Uv Mishnah Torah. So here's what we'll do. We'll consolidate. Now Zos is a reference to Chumash, Torah. So that means to say that the reference in Parshas Bishalach and the reference in Parshas Kisetze will count that as one. Now that will count that as one. So now Zikaron, Mashakasa ben Neviim. So now Zikaron can be understood as the incident in Shmuel. And then Besefer, Mashakasa ben Megillah. And Besefer now opens ourselves up so that we can have a third writing. And I mean that here literally, meaning Ksuvim. So now we have a reference in Torah, we have a reference in Navi, now we have a reference in Ksuvim, and it can be done. So now,
Amalek is not mentioned in the Megillah at all.
Not explicitly, right? It's again, just it's a good observation. It's an interesting observation. Meaning, the Gemara here is assuming that it's really a
mentioning Amalek, but
right.
Mentioned.
It's a predicate of Amalek, and you're right. And Amalek is not mentioned over there. 100. It's an excellent observation. Kitanai. The Gemara notes, it's a machlokis ha-tanai, meaning, now we're basically, after the discussion, is Megillah part of Tanakh, is it not part of Tanakh? Now, it's kind of funny because we are just working with hindsight, meaning we know it's part of Tanakh, so for us, it's like, it's a no-brainer. Meanwhile, it's not a no-brainer. In fact, it's a machlokis ha-tanai. So, kitanai, ksav zos, mashakasav kanzikar, mashakasav ben Mishnah Torah, besefer mashakasav ben Nevi'im, divrei Rabbi Yoshua, that means that according to Rabbi Yoshua, so Esther, Megillas Esther, is not part of Ksuvim. He's certainly not disputing the fact that it's out there, meaning it is the Megillah, and it does tell the story, but nevertheless, it's just simply not part and parcel of Tanakh. Practical differences we'll get to in just a moment. That's the Shitas Rabbi Yoshua. Meanwhile, Rabbi Lazar Madai, Amrik Sov Zos, Mashakasav Kanav and Mishnah Torah, Zikaron Mashakasav ben Nevi'im, and Besefer Mashakasav ben Megillah. And the Shita of Rabbi Lazar Madai is that no, that the Zos is it consolidates both Bishalach and Parshas Kisetze, otherwise known as Torah, that's one. And then Zikaron, that's Nevi'im, Shmuel. And then Besefer is a reference to the Megillah, meaning the Megillah is in fact part and parcel of Tanakh, it's canon. So, Amar Yudam Shmuel Esther Einam Matamasi Adayim. So the Gemara now continues its discussion. Now, in order to appreciate this next part of the Gemara, so we got to go back to Shabbos. Shabbos, Daf Yadalid, thereabouts. So the Gemara in Shabbos notes that there are a number of takanas that were done, gzeras that were done between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And one of them is that if you touch any sefer of Tanakh, so that would result in Tumas Yadayim. Your hands will become tummy. And the reason why is because people would store the Sifrei Tanakh together with Truma, and the rats would come, and the rats would eat the Truma and eat the Sfarim. And so, okay, without getting too involved in the reasons, let's just right now, the facts are that if you touch a Sefer, meaning any Sefer that's part of Tanakh, so it will result in Tumas Yadayim. Okay, that's a fact. Now, the question becomes, is that if Megillah is in fact part and parcel of Tanakh, it's Metamasi Adayim. If it's not part of Tanakh, so then it doesn't have the status, and therefore it's not Metamasi Adayim. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Shmuel, that Esther and Metamasi Adayim, which is amazing, meaning that Shita Shmuel is that Esther is not part of Kisvei Kodesh. It's not canon. So, Lamehmer, Desavish Shmuel Esther, La Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Now, are you really suggesting that it wasn't written Baruch HaKodesh? V'amar Shmuel Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Meanwhile, Shmuel himself is of the position that Esther is written Baruch HaKodesh. So all this becomes unbelievably confusing. meaning it, how can Shmuel be on one side saying that it's not canon, and it's not part of Tanakh, on the other hand, him endorsing the fact that that's in fact written in Baruch HaKodesh. So the Gemara gives a really interesting answer, which is Nemra Likros, Velo Nemra Lichtov. Yeah, it said Baruch HaKodesh, but that's only vis-a-vis in terms of how it should be read, but now not in terms of its written form. Now, what exactly does that mean? So I'm only going to point you to the right direction, but we're going to go on. I see the hour's late. We have a lot of stuff that we need to go in order to complete. But look at the top Tosfos over here where he struggles a little bit in terms of trying to explain what this means. That right now, within Shita Shmuel, so Esther is Ruach HaKodesh vis-a-vis its reading, but not vis-a-vis its writing. That's a really difficult statement to just even wrap our heads around. Anyway, that's the answer the Gemara gives. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges. What are you talking about? Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kohalas, and Matamasi Adayim. Shitas Rabbi Meir is that Kohalas is not Matamasi Adayim, meaning it's not part of canon. And the Machlokas B'Shir Shirim, and there's a Machlokas regarding Shir Shirim. Rabbi Yossi Amar Shir Shirim Matamasi Adayim. Umachlokas B'Kohalas. Sorry, I didn't punctuate well. I'm going to go back for just a moment so I can punctuate a lot better. Remeir Omer Kohalas Eina Matamasi Adayim Umachlokas B'Shir Shirim. Okay, so Kohalas is in fact Matamasi Adayim, meaning that Eina Matamasi Adayim, and as far as Shir Shirim is concerned, Machlokas. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Shir Shirim is Matamasi Adayim, meaning for sure Shir Shirim is part of canon. And a machlokas b'kohalas. And meanwhile, there's a machlokas. They're making reference to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and there's a machlokas regarding Kohalas. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Kohalas mekulei Beis Shammai mechomer Beis Hillel. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Kohalas is part of the leniencies of Beis Shammai. That means to say that according to Beis Shammai, it's not metamis yadayim, meaning it's not part of Tanakh. And according to Beis Hillel, it is part of Tanakh, and therefore results in a chumra. In that now that if you touch it, you have Tumas Yadayim. Ava Rus v'Shir Hashem v'Esther Matamas Yadayim. But as far as Rus and Shir Hashem and Esther are concerned, it is part of canon, and therefore it will be Matamas Yadayim. So the Gemara now has just quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa says with clarity that Esther is in fact part of Tanakh. So the Gemara says, who damer Rabbi Yoshua? So the Gemara says, okay, but as far as Shmuel is concerned, so go back over the Braisa. Not this Brisa, but the previous Brisa, and then there's the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua is of the position that it's not Matamasi Adayim. So Shmuel subscribes to the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Manasi Omer Kolos in Matamasi Adayim, Imne Shechachmaso Shoshlamahi. So, the Gemara quotes another Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Manasi, and that is Koheles is not going to be Matamasi Adayim because what it is, it's the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech, but it's not written Baruch HaKodesh. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya. So Amar lo v'chizu bavad Amar. So they, the Chachamim, said in response to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, you're not right. So v'alo kvar ne'amar v'idaber shloshes alafim mashal. So we know that how many mashalim did Shlomo have? So the Pasuk in Malachim tells us that he had 3,000. 3,000 mashalim. Now, Kohelis is long, but it's not 3,000. So what it must therefore mean is that Koheles is a selection. Well, why? What generated the choice of which ones are going to be making it into Koheles? So the Gemara is assuming right now that it must be Ruach HaKodesh, meaning the ones that are just Chachma, so that is not in Sefer Koheles, but the ones that are Ruach HaKodesh, that actually is in Koheles. So that's what the Gemara is assuming right now in terms of creating a distinction between Koheles and the quote-unquote, the other mashalim. Otherwise stated, Koheles is Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore it's part of Tanakh. And on top of that, V'omer al tosef al dvarav. And then on top of that, there's another pasuk in Mishle that says you can't add. Meaning, this is it. We're capping the mashalim here in Koheles to just this. Again, another indicator that would seem to indicate that Koheles is in fact Ruach HaKodesh. And my V'omer, the Gemara now wants to know, look, your first argument was excellent. Why did you have to add a second argument? So the Gemara says, V'chi teima meimer tuva amar di baila ichtiv u di bailo ichtiv. Look, he said a lot of things. And maybe Koheles is just simply the best of. Meaning, maybe we could make that argument. So Toshma al tosef al dvarav. No. Once we're given instruction of al tosef al dvarav, so that would give us the indication that by it wasn't just simply a choice of best of, but really it is. These are said Baruch HaKodesh, and you can't add any more to Kohelis, because Kohelis is only limited to the Mashalim that are said Baruch HaKodesh. Tanya, the Gemara continues in this discussion. And now we're going to go back to the Megillas Esther. And now, again, we learned this morning the Shita of Shmuel that Esther is written not Baruch HaKodesh and not part of Tanakh. It's a really interesting Shita of Shmuel. And somehow Shmuel has it that we're still reading the Megillah on Purim. Okay, again, that in of itself is something that I pointed you to the Tosos. That really takes a lot to try to figure out. But meanwhile, it's not the accepted viewpoint. The accepted viewpoint is that Megillah is in fact written Baruch HaKodesh. It is part of Tanakh. Okay, so now what the Gemara is going to try to do is it's going to try to see if we can prove that this is so. Meaning we know this because of a Masorah, but can we also, in addition to that, look at the Megillah and see in the Megillah itself that it was really written Baruch HaKodesh. So here's the Gemara's attempt to prove it. So Tanya Rabbi Lazar Amar Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namar Shenamar Vayomar Haman Belibo. Proof number one, Haman said to himself. Well, how do we know about his conversations with himself? Baruch HaKodesh. Number two, Rabbi Kiva Amar Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namar Shenamar Vati Esther Nosis Chaim Be'enei Kol Ro'eha. Everyone loved Esther. How do we know what everyone thought? Again, Baruch HaKodesh. Rabbi Meir Amar Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namar Shenamar V'Yivada Davar LaMordechai. So the plans of Bigdan and Teresh were known to Mordechai. Well, who told them? So the Gemara is right now assuming Ruach HaKodesh. Hopefully, you're probably thinking to yourself, all these arguments, so far we've seen three, they don't seem compelling. Hold that thought. So Rabbi Yossi ben Durumaskis Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemar Shenemar Uvabi Zalo Shachus Yadam. Well, you know, after the Jews won the battle, so they didn't take any of the spoils. Well, how do we know? Ruach HaKodesh. Amar Shmuel Ihavai Hasam. Shmuel says, look, if I were there, Havamina Milsa Dadifa Mikulum. So Shmuel says, now Shmuel's an Amora. So this is an interesting phenomena where the Tanaim are all offering their proofs that Esther was Baruch HaKodesh. And then later, generationally, an Amora comes along, not any Amora, Shmuel, and he says, I got a better one. Okay. And mind you, by the way, just to make this morning, my goal is to make things as straightforward and streamlined as possible. And I don't mean to confuse, and that's really not my goal. But Shmuel was the same one who told us moments earlier that Esther was not written Baruch HaKodesh. Okay, Shmuel Shita is definitely needs clarification. Anyway,
they didn't take the spoils of war, so did they give it to?
Well, the Gemara, forgive me. The Gemara is going to go over all these proofs, and the Gemara is going to challenge all these proofs. So what you're doing now is excellent. The Gemara is going to do it. So the Hava Amina Milsa Dadifa Mikulo Shenamar Kima Vekiblo. So Shmuel says, look. Kima v'kiblu. So what does that mean? So Shmuel's understanding is that kima l'mala masha kiblu l'mata, meaning that not only was it suggested / instituted that we observe Purim down here, but upstairs it was ratified, meaning in the yeshiva shamala, so it was ratified. Well, how do we know that? So that's Ruach HaKodesh. So Amar Rav L'kuli Yisrael Pircha L'bar Mishmuel L'Yisrael Pircha. So Rav says, look, can ask a pircha in any one of the above suggestions. Shmuel, however, that seems to be the best of the arguments. The Rabbi Lazar, Svarahu, Lohavinish, the Chashalamaka Kavase. The high, Kikamafish, Tuva, the Amar, Adaita, the Nafshe Kamar. So, as far as proof number one, well, how do we know what Haman's thinking? The Gemara says, I'll tell you how we know. Keep reading in the Megillah. Meaning, you'll see that Haman's really full of himself. Meaning, there's a lot of good indication, including which the Gemara he just made reference to, including which when the king says, I have to pay somebody a favor and I don't know what to do. So Haman, who thought it was himself, said, oh, you know what? You'll have him wear the royal garments and you'll have him go out on the king's horse, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning he was totally full of himself. So when Haman Amar Bilibo, you could figure it out. Meaning even if you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. Number two, the Rabbi Akiva. As far as the beauty of Esther is concerned, so the Gemara says, even without Ruach HaKodesh, Esther had a nondescript look about her. Everyone thought that she was part of their nationality. Okay? So it's even without Ruach HaKodesh, it's fair to suggest that she was beloved in everyone's view. Tarshim Hayum. They were Tarshim, and the language they spoke was Tarshish. Don't ask for any more help in terms of what the nationality is and what the language was. But the point is, however, is that they spoke a particular language, and Mordechai spoke their language. So when it was known to Mordechai, it wasn't known through Ruach HaKodesh necessarily. In other words, he just simply overheard and spoke their language, and they didn't know he spoke their language. V'had Rav Yossi ben Duramaskis, Dilma Pristaki Shador. And as far as the Sheet of Rav Yossi ben Duramaskis, how do we know that nobody touched any of the spoils of war? I don't know. In other words, even without Ruach HaKodesh, so maybe letters were sent, meaning could be communication. Could be. So we don't have definitive proof that had to have been known only through Ruach HaKodesh. So, and Shmuel Vadei Leisle Pircha. But as far as Shmuel is concerned, Kima V'Kiblu, which means that they ratified upstairs in the Yeshiva Shamala what we did down here, that the only way we're going to know that information is only through Ruach HaKodesh. I'm Ravina Hainu Damri Inshi. Ravina says, look, a little commentary over here, and that is, Tavachad Pipalasa Charifta Mi Mali Tzani Kare. Sometimes one jar pepper is greater than a basket full of gourd or whatever the, right, melon, whatever the vegetable is. Anyway, look, sometimes you'll find it. Sometimes you'll find that the little pepper is sharper than that of the larger ones. Okay, and a comparison and contrasting Shmuel to the Tanaim. Rav Yosef Amar Me'acha, the Gemara is not done with this. Meaning, we're still gonna just push a little bit more on this idea that Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh. He says it comes from the following, V'imei Purim Ha'ela, lo ya'avru mitoch ha'yudim. How long is Purim gonna last? In perpetuity. Well, the only way we could say that is only if it's done by Ruach HaKodesh. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Me'acha, v'zircham lo yasuf mizaram. That's the same idea, just he's pointing to a different pasuk to express the same idea. Why was he happy? Why wasn't he happy with Rav Yosef? Happens to be that Tosfos is, you know, last Tosfos is gives a suggestion over there. You can see that. You can see that last Tosfos. Okay. We're going to get to the upcoming Mishnah. So we have a lot more to do. We don't have a lot of time. Let's move forward. We are now going to be going over some halachas of Purim. Now you would think that being that this is a Masechta dedicated to this, so we're going to see a lot regarding the halachas. It's not the case. Oddly enough, the mitzvahs of Purim, Matan Zavyon, Mishloach Manos, so pay careful attention, I'm speaking to myself. As the Gemara now is going to be going over these halachas, it will not even be a half of an amud. Okay, that's, right, and the Masechta is not a short Masechta, but meanwhile, there's not a lot regarding, I mean, from the Gemara standpoint, regarding the mitzvahs of Mishloach Manos and Matan Zavyonim, and so here we begin. And other facets of the Day of Purim, notably also the Seuda as well. Okay? So we are going to be covering, and now the next 10, 15 minutes, Seuda, Mishloach Manos, Matan Zavyonim. Okay. And we, just a disclaimer, please, we're going to scratch the surface. Meaning, we're going to go through the Gemaras, we're going to do a cursory reading of the Gemara, that's just the nature of Daf, and the truth of the matter is that these Gemaras are discussed heavily by the Rishonim, and we're just covering the very surface, a very superficial understanding, that's generally the case by Daf, but okay, but I'm just, there's a lot of Halach Lamaisa coming up, and let's begin. Tani Rav Yosef. So, in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, so it is two manos, two prepared foods, and it's going to be to one person. That will be the baseline. Okay, for reasons which I'm sure are explainable by social psychologists, so we go bonkers when it comes to the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and we insist on giving it to everybody we know. Okay, it's part of our issues. Okay, but the mitzvah itself is to give one person two prepared foods. So Matan Zavyonim, now as far as Matan Zavyonim is concerned, so the Gemara says, Shnei Matanos, Shnei Bnei Adam. So that's two Matanos to two people. Meaning one per person. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya Shadal El Rabbi Yoshia. So Atma Digla Talsa. So here now, a couple of anecdotes. So number one, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he sent to Rabbi Yoshia, obviously on Purim. So itma daglatilsa, so the thigh of a iglatilsa. Iglatilsa comes up again and again throughout Shas. Let's just say right now, it's a really good piece of meat. Okay, without getting into the details of what does that mean, it's the third. It's a really good piece of meat. And on top of that, vigar b'dechamra. And he also sent a barrel of wine as well. Okay, good. So his shalach manos were meat and wine. Perfect. So shalach lei. So the response now, meaning, okay, good. So that was the mishloach manos. What was the response? Kiyamta ben rabbeinu, mishloach manos ish l'reihu. Okay, so you fulfilled the mitzvah of mishloach manos. Okay, now there is a discussion because you'll notice now the next two words are umatanas l'avyonim. Do they belong there? Do they not belong there? So Rashi takes it out, and the Gaon takes it out, and okay. And
this was cooked meat, right?
Huh? Presumably it means a cooked piece of meat. Right. Rabbi Shadalei, another anecdote. Rabbi Shadalei, the Mari Barmar, Biad Abaye. So the following was sent from Rabba to Mari Barmar through Abaye. There is a discussion to be had in terms of Shloch Manos should be sent through an agent. Does it have to be sent through an agent? Now, again, we're given very little information from the Gemara itself, but from this anecdote, it sounds like, yeah. But the Gemara is just giving us an anecdote. That doesn't mean it has to be done this way. Again, a lot to discuss. We're just going through the Gemara. So, Biyad Abaye, so Malataska de Kashva, a basket filled with dates, Umalai Kasa Kimcha Davshuna, and roasted wheat kernels. So, Amalai Abaye. So Abaye says, now Abaye is turning his attention to Rabba. That in this particular case is the giver. And he says, Hashta Amar Mare. So the, you know what he's going to say? Ichakla Malka Lehave, Dikula Mitzavre Lo Nachis. It's an expression. Basically what happens is that even as the pauper becomes the king, the farmer becomes the king. But you know, people remind him that once upon a time, so he was just a simple farmer. And basically what Abaye is saying to Rabba is, look, you know, you're giving him simple foods and it's beneath him. And all you're going to be doing is making him feel bad, reminding him that once upon a time he was just a simple person. So the, and basically what he's saying is that really you need to up your game in terms of Mishloach Manos. Okay, now again, in terms of the halacha, what does that mean? Does that mean Mishloach Manos has to be done according to the recipient and based on what is acceptable to him? Okay, like I said, lots to discuss. We continue. So now the following was sent in return. This is from Mari Barmar back to Rabba, and presumably Abaye also was once again the agent. So Malotaska de Zangbila. So he sent him. This is a type of spice. Malakasa de Pipula Aricha, hot peppers. Amar Abaye. So Abaye now says to Mari Barmar, Hashta Amar Mar Anashajulei Chulia. Look, I sent you sweet foods. Now, I know roasted kernels does not seem to us to be sweet foods. But please keep in mind, back in the day, they didn't have processed sugar. So, in other words, for them, roasted kernels was a sweet food. I sent them sweet foods, and what is he sending me? Sending me spicy. Okay? Right. I was thinking it also. Okay. Amar Abai kinafke mi beimar. Abai says, when I left my master's house, Abai was a student of Rabba, so most probably over here is referencing Rabba. So Hava Savana. So I was full. And Kimate Lahasam, but however, when I got there, Krivali Shisim Sai. So they brought me 60 plates to Shisim in Ekadera, 60 cooked foods, Vachlabu Shisim Pluge. And I had 60 portions or 60 pieces. Uvishula Basraisa. And the last one they gave me, Havakarile, Slikedar. I guess what you and I would call pot roast. Now, what I want to do is I want to eat the place afterwards. Meaning, I was starving, unbeknownst to me. Amar Abaye Haina Dami Inshe. Abaye says, look, now you understand these expressions that people say. What are these expressions? So, Kafin Anya Velo Yada. A person who's starving doesn't even know how hungry he is. I was starving, I didn't even know. So, In Ami Rav Chalivasim Shchech. Or another expression that people say is that there's always room for dessert. That expression exists to this very day. Okay. Even though it's funny, in other words, you would think that pot roast is not exactly dessert food. Things have changed in the last number of years, and back in the day, it was. Abaye barav and Rabbi Chanina barav and Mechafis Udas Alahadade. Okay, this Gemara is much discussed in terms of the halachas of Mishloach Manos, but again, I'm just going to read the Gemara Kipshuto without delving. But the basic idea is that what they would do, and this is the way Rashi presents the Gemara over here, is that they would alternate years. One year one would eat by one, the other year the other one would eat by the other. And in doing so, they would fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Okay, and again, there's so much to discuss over here. What does that mean? Each of them would be fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. The host would be fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So there's a lot to discuss. We're going to go on. Am Rava Mechayv Inish Lebesume Beporia. Adla Yada Bin Arur Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. Of all the Gemaras that we have today, there's so many Gemaras today. Right? But this one probably, I'll say it better, definitely is the most popular of the Gemaras, and that is that in the Suda Purim, so a person is required to get intoxicated in the story itself to the point where you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. As you can imagine, there is a lot of halachic discussion over here in terms of what exactly are the parameters of this requirement. Generally speaking, we are definitely not in favor of anybody becoming intoxicated at any point in time. Now, it's true that there are times over the course of the year where we're required to drink wine, Kiddush, Dal Kosos by Pesach, for sure. But this idea of becoming recklessly intoxicated, so it is not a Jewish idea. So what's happening over here? So there is much to discuss over here. And again, you already know what I'm going to say. We're going to go on. Rabbi Rav Zera Avdusudas Purim Bahadei Adadei. And Rabbi and Rabbi Zera are having a meal together, and if some, and they got drunk, and Kam Rabbi Shachtel Rabbi Zera. And what Rabbi did is that in their intoxication, so Rabbi killed Rabbi Zera. So Le Macher by Rachame Va'ache. So the next day, he asked, he petitioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, could you undo what I did? And Tchias Amesim. Lishana, now the following year, Amar Le Nesim Arvinavit Sudas Purim. I got this great idea. Would you join me for Purim Suda again? We had such a great time last year. And Amar Lein, he says back to him, I don't know. You know, last year, remember, you killed me. And then miraculously, I experienced Chiyas HaMesim. And you think it's going to happen again this year? I don't know. You can't really rely on a miracle. Now, obviously, by the way, with the laughter that ensues, I totally understand. And I'm with you in terms of the irony of what exactly is going on over here. The story is to be taken literally. Did this really happen? And what's happening over here? Perhaps the Gemara is giving a cautionary tale in terms of, look, on one hand, yes, get intoxicated. On the other hand, but like, be very careful. What's happening over here with the story? So obviously there is a lot to discuss. We're going to go on. Amar Rav Sudas Purim Sha'achla Balayla. So lo yetze yedei chavasa. What if you have Purim Suda on the night? Night of Purim. So now we are going to learn together. Sorry, let me correct my own sentence. We already learned back on Daf Dalet, there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah at night. Okay, so one could therefore imagine that if there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah at night, you can also have the Suda at night as well. What we're learning together right now, this is the last sugya in terms of the halachas, and that is that no, meaning you can certainly eat the night of, but that does not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Suda. So lo yasi de chavasa my time yemei mishav simcha ksiv. So in the Megillah itself, in the ninth parak, it says yemei. Now, granted that sometimes yemei means the day of, meaning the entire day, starting with the evening prior, but that's certainly not how the Gemara is going to understand it. The Gemara understands that yemei over here means daytime. The only time that is acceptable vis-a-vis the mitzvah of seuda is only daytime. Yemei mishav simcha ksiv. So Rav Ashi have a yasiv kamei. The Amemar, so Rav Ashi was in front of Amemar on Purim, and Nagav Lo Asa Rabbanan. And what happened was is that the Talmid did not come from the base Medrash. Amar Le, my time Lo Asa Rabbanan. So what's going on over here? So Dilma Tridi, Besudas Purim. So maybe what they're doing is that they're involved in the Sudas Purim. So Amar Le, so Amemar says back to Rav Ashi, Velo Havefshel Lamichla Ba'urta. I don't understand. Meaning, what do you mean they're having the Suda today? Couldn't have they had their Suda last night? So apparently he didn't know what we're about to learn together. So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi teaches the Amar, Lo Shmi Alei Lamar Ha, Damar Rava Sudas Purim Shachla Balai Lo Yasa Yidei Chavaso, right? Didn't you know what Rava taught us? And that is that the Suda Purim cannot be had at night. It has to be done during the day. So Amar Lei, so if this is in fact so, again, the gears over here is a little choppy, but Tanimine Arben Zimnin. So basically, good. He learned it and he reviewed it. Went over it 40 times. And Vidamele Kamanda Manach Bekise, it's like he put it in his pocket. Meaning, okay, good. Now he has fully absorbed this idea that the Suda's Purim cannot be done at the night of Purim, but rather has to be done the day of Purim. Right? The Rama writes again, I just read the Gemara, I didn't say over any halacha. our goal is to get to the daf. The Rama writes is that there's a minhag to have a su'uda on the night of, but that's not the su'uda. In other words, the su'uda is the day, is the mitzvah of the day, as we just learned in the Gemara. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Ein Beis, the continuation of the Ein Beis. There are a total, I'll talk more about this tomorrow, there are a total of 13 Ein Beis, and we just learned number one. The rest of the Ein Beis are all tangents. And the rest of the Perek, so interesting, a series of tangents. Sorry, just give me a second. A series of tangents and a lot of drush coming up here in the remainder of the Masechta. Okay, let's quickly recap our morning. Okay, if there is an Adar Beis, so now what do I do vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah? So the conclusion of the Gemara, there's much discussion had in the beginning of today's daf, right? 20 minutes dedicated to this discussion in terms of the daf. The conclusion of the Gemara is Adar Beis. Adar Beis is the significant Adar in terms of when the mitzvahs are to be done. By mitzvahs, we mean Dal Parshios, Mikra Megillah, Matanos Levyonim, everything. Everything's to be done in Adar Beis. In fact, to the point where if I did an Adar Rishon, because I didn't know there was an Adar Beis, I still have to go ahead and repeat an Adar Beis. That's the sheet of Rishon Ben Gamliel. That's the way the Gemara Paskin. And that was the first part of today's daf. Then we continued. A lot of really interesting discussions of what makes it into Tanakh. What gets canon? What gets canonized? And a discussion about Esther, wanting Megillas Esther to become written, part of canon. And a discussion of whether it was written Baruch HaKodesh, not written Baruch HaKodesh. Shmuel Shita regarding Megillas Esther, that on one hand there was a mitzvah to read it, on the other hand it's not written Baruch HaKodesh, even an attempt to wrap our head around the sheet of Shmuel is really difficult and really complicated. The Esther being written in Ruach HaKodesh, we touched on other Megillah Shirashirim Koheles, whether they belong as part of Tanakh, whether they don't, whether they were written in Ruach HaKodesh or not. The Gemara made an attempt on Zayin Amud Aleph to prove that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. Numerous proofs that the Gemara went through. The Gemara really wasn't particularly excited about any of the proofs. The Gemara did like Shmuel's. Even after Shmuel, the Gemara even gave another proof after that as well. And then, finally, our last discussion today, which is really just so interesting, the totality of the Gemara's discussion regarding the mitzvahs of Se'uda, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Le'Avyonim. So that is what took our attention. The Gemara said over really just a halacha, notably, Mishloach Manos is two manos for one person. Matanos Le'Avyonim, 2 for 2, meaning one matana for one person, and to do that a second time as well. And then a number of anecdotes, stories about Amaraim sending Mishloach Manos one to another, a story about them alternating meals from one year to another, seemingly a fulfillment of Mishloach Manos, and a number of anecdotes also regarding Su'uda as well, intoxication during a meal, the story with Rabbi and Reb Zera, what happened one year when they got a little too drunk, and then finally we concluded this morning with the halacha that Su'uda is only done during the day and not the night prior.